Welcome back to the Union Edge Laborist Talk Radio. I'm Angela Bachman here with Brittany Sheets.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for tuning in and joining us this Thursday. We are going to have lots of fun. And a quick thank you to Laborist.
Hey Brittany, today's Friday.
Oh, Friday.
Finally.
I know, right? Guys, we need the weekend here. At least I need
weekend
here. I don't know what day it is, clearly. Well, thanks real quick to Laborist Local 373 and the Operating Engineers Local 66. And thank you for Doug Cunningham for hanging out with us.
Hey, great to be with you guys as usual. And that guy Charles must be some kind of a slave driver or something there with you guys. You know, I mean, you don't even know what day it is. Come on.
I know, right? I'm so busy. So busy working for this party we got coming up, guys. Come hang out with us on Friday, March 24th. We're having a big party, and at least I know what day that is. It's 1 week from today.
That sounds like a lot of fun, actually.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. We had a really good time last year.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a great time of year to have it, too. I mean, actually, you know, spring is getting ready to spring, and it's just wonderful to get everybody together. It's a real boost in energy when that happens, you guys do something like that, I think. So good luck with that.
Yeah,
thanks. Thank you.
I wanted to update you first on the Rockford, Illinois strike. 900 workers, staff there, striking against the public schools. They had a 3-day unfair labor practices strike that started Wednesday. And the strike is getting a lot of support from the teachers' union, the Rockford Education Association, but the school district is forcing some of the staff that are members of the Education Association to step in and do some of the work that these striking workers had done. And so the union has sent a letter to the Rockford School Board complaining about that and declaring their official intent to negotiate that because it's a change in working conditions. In the meantime, the strike is going to end today, and the workers are going to go back to work legally, they had said. Lowski, the organizer for AsMe there, said, and we'll see what happens and see how the district responds when the workers come back to work off the strike on Monday. But the still unresolved issues, of course, are at the bargaining table, where these workers are trying to get increases in their salaries, and they make pitifully low wages. I mean, I'm talking a maximum, I think, of $14 an hour for bus drivers. And the other workers, the paraprofessionals and the food service workers, are making much less. In one case, just a little over $9 an hour, I think. So this is a really important struggle for these workers. It's an illustration of what workers across the country are facing, you know, when they have these jobs that pay starvation wages and they try to organize and do something about it. And so it's just heartening, though, to hear from the organizer, Ed Sadlowski, who said the community is supporting it. The teachers are wearing the union colors of the striking workers when they go to classrooms. There's a bunch of solidarity there, and he said that other organized labor folks in the Rockford, Illinois area are also stepping up to support. So they've got that foundation to work from as they try to battle for a fair and just contract here.
Well, that's really great to know, and of course, we love it whenever we see people come out in support of solidarity from other labor unions, other teachers. I mean, that's great, and that's something you really need. There's always strength in numbers, and it's not easy to be in such negotiations that you've had to go out on strike or in other situations and other places where someone gets locked out. It's really hard on the individuals, and it also branches into, you know, their families and just puts a lot of stress on the situation that was already stressful. So it's really good to know that you do have a support system out there and that people are stepping up and standing with you.
Absolutely. And as I've reported these things over the years at Workers Independent News, there's a pattern that emerges, you know, and that's workers who get together and they come to the bargaining table with what are perfectly reasonable, in most cases, perfectly reasonable issues that they put on the table to try to improve. And so often they just hit a stone wall, you know, the employer, in this case the Rockford Public Schools, just doesn't want to hear it and doesn't want to talk about it. And in America, you cannot, or in any country, anywhere, you cannot sustain a family getting up every day going to work when you're making poverty, starvation wages. It just isn't possible. And one of these days, I hope this gigantic epiphany happens with everyone and they understand, hey, well, you know, guess what? Eureka. You know,
yeah.
We have to actually pay living wages. But I won't hold my breath waiting for that in our current system, unfortunately. But we'll stay on top of that on those issues and others as well. Segueing quickly into the Trump budget, this huge military increase, $54 billion, is coming at the expense of a lot of other things. The EPA is being cut by almost a third. As many as 3,200 workers could lose their job. at the Environmental Protection Agency. Federal workers in general are very upset because of the harshness of these cuts to programs that that really matter, that are domestic programs, outside of the defense spending. And this is happening, by the way, folks, when this whole idea that the American military is somehow just degraded into this weak, weak force and just needs to be rebuilt by Trump, an absolute and utter lie. President Obama said in 2016, the United States of America is the most powerful nation on earth, period. It's not even close. The U.S. military budget is bigger than the next eight nations combined. The U.S. military has an acknowledged base number of about just something over 720 bases around the country and around the world in 130 nations. We have an enormous military, just huge, and the budget is just huge. And there were people in our history, Dwight Eisenhower, President Eisenhower, a Republican, by the way, warned about the military-industrial complex in 1961, and his concern was that it is such a powerful establishment, the defense contractors and the military, that it could harm liberty and also suck money away from very important domestic programs. He said building hospitals and schools, for example, is something he cited at that time. So this is an enormous mistake of a budget that's going to hurt a lot of working people and give the military tens of billions of dollars that it does not need.
This whole budget is just, I don't even know what to say, quite honestly. I am so concerned. I am so disturbed. I'm so upset. I am so offended. There are just so many words that you could use to describe this. And I am hoping very much that, I mean, understand this is just the initial of what was proposed. This by no means this is what's going to happen and this is what is going to be put into place. I'm rather skeptical that a lot of this in its current state will actually be approved to put into action, especially after the initial upset of people everywhere over a lot of different line items of this budget and their proposals. So I think there's a lot of work to be done here, and I really, and this is me personally, I really don't believe that what was proposed yesterday will be what actually comes to the table or happens.
And let's be honest, I mean, I think rarely is the president's initial proposal the thing that ends up enacted, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And you guys are right in making good points on that, you know. But at the same time, it reflects a mentality and a set of values that, as you said, is very disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
and it makes me very angry that that's the values. And I would hope that tens of millions of people who voted for this government in some form or fashion, who either voted for Republicans to go to the Senate or the Congress or voted for Trump, tens of millions of them, okay? A lot of working people did that. And this budget is abandoning the working people. Where's the $1 trillion infrastructure plan, you know, that Trump promised on the campaign trail? Where is it?
Mm-hmm. Good question.
And I think a lot of voters who voted for him expected to see that quickly.
And it's
not there. Yeah. So, I mean, these things, we'll keep our eyes on it, as will the country, and hope that sanity prevails on some of these more drastic cuts. I wanted to, if we still have time, quickly, I wanted to talk a little bit about XPO Logistics. It's a big company. The Teamsters Union is trying to organize port truck drivers, and they had an incident happen in Georgia that led to an unfair labor practice charge filed by the Teamsters. And it was just Teamsters organizers in a public right-of-way outside the gates of this company, trying to leaflet drivers. The drivers would come out, they would stop briefly, hand them a leaflet, they'd be on their way. Georgia police were called by the XPO logistics company, and you can go to Workers Independent News and look up XPO, laborradio.org is the website, and listen to what these Georgia cops did, how they treated these workers, Teamsters trying to organize, just hand out leaflets in a public right-of-way. And it gives you some sense of what people are up against in many southern communities down there when they try to just assert their legal rights to organize unions. It was amazing, the snide kind of attitude by the police that's evident when you hear the audio, and the sarcastic kind of thing, and the way they just heavy-handedly, in my opinion, just dismissed this legal right to stand there and just pass out leaflets, for God's sake, you know. It's just a symbol and a one example, a little microcosm example that goes to the macro reality down there, that basic legal rights for working people just aren't being respected in lots of places, and especially in the South in many cases. So that was a disturbing incident, but the good news is that XPO decided to settle the unfair labor practice strikes that are dragging it out. Yeah, so the workers still, so the Teamsters said, you know, they're going to be continuing to leaflet, and they want the XPO workers there to know that they do have a right to organize a union and to actually have leaflets distributed, you know, in
that's
a public right of way. So that's a good thing. Yeah, so kudos to the Teamsters for that.
Yeah, definitely. I love ending things on a win, no matter how small the victory. A victory is still a victory.
That's right.
Absolutely.
It's inspiring, inspirational. And, you know, people will never, I've reiterated this many times on your program, but I don't think people ever are going to give up the search and the struggle for social and economic justice. Yeah, we can take some body blows. Our institutions can be harmed. We can be set back, you know, in our efforts. But never will human beings, especially, I think, Americans, give up on the idea of actually achieving social and economic justice. So just continue to struggle out there, brothers and sisters. Keep it up, because you are doing what's quintessentially American, standing up for all of our rights.
I definitely agree, Doug. And on that note, we are out of time. We've got a run. That was Doug Cunningham of Workers Independent News. I'm Brittany Sheets here with Angela Bachman, and you've been listening to the Union Edge Labor Talk Radio.